Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, King. Welcome, kings and queens, goddess and gods. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About It All. where we strive to touch on issues that will uplift us and inspire and motivate self-independence, as well as, you know, raise us up higher as critical thinkers, as more logical thinkers, where we get past the stage where many of us are at, where we make decisions based on emotions, which leaves us in bad situations, you know, such as, you know, when it comes to voting, when it comes to religion, when it comes to being enslaved. These three topics bring out a lot of emotion within us as a people. And we need to look at all three of these things in a logical way, because these three things affect how we operate on a daily basis. You know, I had a conversation with my sister the other night, and I said to her, based on some information that I have been receiving, that I'm kind of questioning two things, whether slavery existed the way that we have been told and the way it has been taught to us, as well as whether we were, any of us, our ancestors were brought here on boats. And, you know, it was something that, you know, it became a pretty heated discussion, to say the least. And it was based on, you know, her feeling like I was disrespecting the ancestors. And never would I disrespect the ancestors, because they are the reason that we are where we at. However, if we started looking at where we at right now, and we examine the younger people that's underneath us and the children that they're producing right now, would we say that we are progressing, or would we say we are digressing? I'm putting this out there. Now, anybody who's listening, I would love for you to press 1 and add your comments. Let me know what you think. Do you think we are progressing, or do you think we're regressing? And the manner that what is happening around us and what we're still fighting for, asking for, and haven't received. However, we are in a time now where we have access to so much information that our ancestors possibly couldn't even fathom. Each of us walk around every day with the computer in our hand, that we can utilize in a manner to research any type of information that we're curious about. And I'm being, you know, so with that being said, if, like I said, if anybody wants to add to where we're going with this, come in. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Let's talk about it. Caller, welcome to Let's Talk About It All.
Yeah, hi, Shadi. Sorry, I was on mute. Solution, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Excellent, excellent. I see that you are a man of a religious inclination or spiritual inclination, religious, spiritual. In other words, you believe in a God of a real sort. But look here, the question you ask is a very easy question to answer. And first of all, let's start with the chain concept. You know about a chain. I don't know if you're a man that has worked with his hands, but if you have, you know a chain is not stronger than its weakest link. So then one can look at, excuse me, one can look at it from that particular concept. Now, within looking at the individual, and obviously you're going to look at the financial status, the health status, the educational status. So I'm not saying this is comprehensive or all-encompassing, but these are at least some good indices or some good markers, you know. And, of course, the people who join together, whoever they may be, i.e. the chain concept, and they demonstrate this kind of strength, well, then a barometer, I can give you some barometers for a community, for a nation, for a state, whatever. You know, the parents, are the children being raised by two parents? That's always considered a very significant marker. You know, how are the kids being raised? And but it starts with the status of the individual, the health status, as I just said, the educational status, the employment status, and I'll just throw in the lack of substance abuse status. All those are indices for healthy living and longevity. And I would add this, power. Now, I've recommended several books to you. I recommended Dr. Anderson's book, but everybody says pretty much the same thing. If you go to any really good self-help books, they pretty much say the same thing. They really do. And but I like reading the different ways that people say it, you know. So those are some good indicators if you want to chop it up regarding those, and I think you should. You know, you had me on to talk about finances. Finances are going
Absolutely.
To be the foundation for any group success. Can't go anywhere without adequate finances. And then, of course,
right.
The finances represents the one's health, education. You know, the finances pretty much determine everything that a person acquires in order to be this kind of healthy, kind of statuesque picture of progress. Go ahead. I've thrown out quite a bit
okay.
of
All right. yeah,
information.
Yeah, you've thrown out quite a bit of, yeah, absolutely. Now, what my question really was,
okay,
you know, based on society,
sure,
you know, I identify as a black man, so
right. That doesn't
when Yeah, no. For me, this is the reason. I'm going to explain why. I'm going to explain why in a minute.
Sure.
Explain why. When I put the question out, I put the question out because there are a lot of different nationalities in America. Yes. America is what they call a melting pot.
Right,
however,
right.
There's a stigma. There's a stigma that follows a large majority of black people. Even black people who are prominent, if certain situations occur, it still, the stigma still follows them. So my question was basically from ancestry, you know, because we have been fed this story that, you know, as black people that, you know, we were brought to this country by ships, and from them ships we were forced to do free labor. And I'm saying that many of us say it was 400 and something years. Now, speed it up right now. The question that I'm asking is, okay, we went from, if this story is true, we went from being brought to a country where we weren't able to do anything, read, write, according to the teachings. Now we're in 2023, and we are supposedly free. However, let's go up to like the 60s. Let's go up to the 60s where the Jim Crow and all of that was in action, and the segregation and Martin Luther King, we're fighting for that. Now we're in a state of 2023 where we all carry a computer in our hand. Well, the majority of us carry a computer in our hand. And I'm asking, based on statistics, and you're a pretty good person with statistics. Based on statistics, all the things you mentioned are valid. Two-parent households, you know, good financial background, proper education, all of that plays a part. However, based on statistics, if you ever did some statistics, are we, as a whole, when they do the statistics, just as you do with women, when they do a statistic telling you how the majority of women going, how is the majority of black youth being rated? That's really my question. Are they being rated as excelling, or are they being rated as dying earlier, going to prison earlier, and the lowest educated? That's pretty much where I'm going with this. So
yeah, you know what? Look, I've worked with EEOC for and with EEOC, and they keep a lot of statistical data like this because they collaborate with the Department of Labor, the Human and Health Services, and all these different departments. But Shadi, one of the things, okay, you just said that there is a stigma following people. Now, let me say this to you. First of all, when you use the term black, right? Now, there are melanated people all over the world. In fact, the vast majority of the world are melanated people. But
absolutely.
Yeah, with the peculiar exception of the United States, no one identifies racially. Everybody identifies nationally. Now, I've done some study on this, and I find that it's very important for a person to know where they are, not necessarily where they came from. I mean, that's okay, too. But people live in the here and now, so it's very important for one to know where they are. And what I mean by that is everybody identifies with a land mass, because from that land mass are all the laws, economic, civil, et cetera, and that's where all their resources are derived. And so what I'm saying is, and I'm saying this very gingerly, you know, very courteously, but if one doesn't understand where they are, they're not going to benefit from what's available to them. I mean, if they're taught to hate the existing system, they're not going to learn how to, and I'm going to use two very important words, how to exploit and how to manipulate the system, because that's what the system is there for, to be exploited and to manipulate means to skillfully handle, and exploit means to put to productive use. So I'm just giving a workable definition of those concepts. And so I would say to you that the most important thing regarding people are their economic class or their class, not necessarily their race. Now, what a lot of people do very ignorantly and inappropriately, they try to say all people are in one category, and that's just not true. That's not true now. That has never been true, and I don't think that will ever be true in the future. If one goes to any aggregate of people, any collection of people, you'll find that those people are separated into class categories. That's just the way the world works. That's just the way it is. And so you'll find that people in different class status will operate pretty much similarly. You know, they want the nice house, the education for their kids, the vacation once or twice a year, good health care. And that's what they seek. They seek all of these things. And that's true across the board, given a person's class status. And I've spoken with some people who are just, they're just diehards on this racial thing, and they don't understand reality. Race was never real anyway. That was manufactured in order to gain a financial advantage. And no one is going to deny the variegated history of the United States. But at the same time, the United States has vastly improved its treatment of its citizens. That's why, I think we naturalize about 1 million people every year. So people don't break into a prison, you see. They break out. And the vast majority of the world's people that are not wealthy, super wealthy, want to come here. This is where they want to come. So it's amazing to me that people who are already here don't realize what a beneficial situation that they're in. And my whole thing is actually to encourage as many people as possible. Now, some people don't want to grow. You got to realize everybody doesn't want to be saved. They don't. Some people feel perfectly satisfied being a victim. Being a victim is their power because they don't want to change things. And so, I mean, that has to be factored into the equation also. But that's what I would point you in the direction of, is in the direction of class. Because if you look at the people, you take Minister Farrakhan, for example. I know a little bit about him. I've read about him, but he lives a very high, I would say he is definitely in the upper class, probably in the 1%. Would you concur with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're damn right. And every leader, most leaders, and I think he designates himself as a leader. So my position is this, and you have all these people that may identify as black, but they use that as a power base. They are doctor this and doctor that. So number one, they have titles. Now, if they've earned a doctorate degree, that means they've manipulated and exploited their environment.
Okay. All right. So,
yeah. I don't know if you heard the last thing I said. These people
manipulated and, yeah, doctors, they manipulated and exploited the environment. And
right. And the reason I'm speaking to you this way is I believe you get it. And thus these people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, these people find
good.
A way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these people find a way to get an economic advantage That's what, and see, a lot of people are blind to that. They look at, I take, for example, Richard Reardon. He recently passed away. Richard Reardon, and this was true 15, 20 years ago, Richard Reardon was worth about 50 million dollars. He was worth about $50 million. Now, one time I heard at a particular event, Richard Reardon just considered himself a regular person. That's, you know, he just wanted to be identified just as a regular person. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But he wasn't a regular person. Richard Reardon didn't know what it meant to worry about paying a bill. No. He wasn't a regular person. Now, regular people who are not regular people, people who are above the fray, will often act as if they're one of the regular people, and that takes a lot of pressure off of them because they don't have to put up with, you know, all that comes with living this highfalutin, fancy lifestyle, right? People just see them, oh, he's one of us, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, but he's really not. And so what I'm saying to you is there's really very little excuse. And let me just give you a quick point. See, the world doesn't care about your or my situation. It really doesn't care about anybody's situation. So who has to care? You. It has to come from the individual because the individual has to take control and make of their lives what they choose to. So I'm just saying to you, first of all, understand what success is and then get it, right? Understand what success is and go after it.
Okay, you mentioned something. I hear you, Sister Lisa. I'm going to bring you up next. I hear you, Sister Lisa. It's something that now you mentioned something, Solution, about regular people. And when I make this statement, those are the ones that I'm speaking on. And you're perfectly right that as an individual, we have to get it ourselves. We have to understand that self-empowerment is one of the greatest things that a person can have. And self-realization is one of the greatest things a person can have. See, I noticed with you, you don't, whenever asked, what do you identify as, you avoid the question. You never say whether I'm European, whereas I'm African, because many of us we call African Americans, some of us call Latinos. You never identify either way. You identify,
right, but
you identify as, I would like to know why. Well, pretty much you basically state why. Because
yeah, it's meaningless.
You say you understand. Now, there's not many people who understand that race, that black and white really is the same. And if you take it to a biblical part, then if you take it biblically, then it would mean that we all are related, because if what happened in the Bible where the world was destroyed and just Noah's children was left, then we all will be related. However,
hey, Shadi, excuse me. Could I interrupt you for just a moment? Yeah, thank you. We're related before that, too. If you go back to Adam and Eve, science pretty much corroborates this. We're related no matter how one slices it. But what I'm saying is, see, people can get stuck on one thing. For example, you can take your thumb and put it so close to your eye, even though your thumb is very small, you can put your thumb so close to your eye that you can't see anything else.
Okay, and I could agree. Now, I want to ask you one question. After you answer it, then we're going to go to Sister Lisa. Do you believe that people were brought from Africa to America by force? Do you believe in that?
Well, I do. Well, not believe in that. I know that. But that was on the part of both parties. See, both Africans and people, European Americans, participated in what's known as the slave trade. And the vast majority of people that were, it was inhumane, but everybody did it at the time. Let's just say that was common. But the vast majority of slaves, if you want to just go that way, from West Africa, the West Coast of Africa, excuse me, were they were shipped. 96% were shipped to the West Indies and Brazil, not America. Only about 4%, and this is documented. Only about 4%. So, if you want to talk about a quote unquote transplanted African culture, that's where it would be, in Brazil and, of course, in the West Indies, not so much in America. Are you aware of that?
Oh, okay. So how do this is and this is why they have changed. This is why with the black thing, the Negro, the African American, all of that kind of stuff, I understand how it plays a part, and it confuses a lot of people. You
exactly very important point you just made.
Right.
That's one of the most important points in this whole discussion. What it does is confuses people, like putting the thumb in front of the eye to be confused about what's really going on. And they're caught up in this. And all one can do is just kind of sit back and watch it play out. You really can't stop people from doing what they're hell-bent on doing, you see. So the thing is that, yes, injustices were done in the past on both sides. See, oftentimes people just blame the Europeans, but they don't blame the Africans, when the Africans were probably as much a blame, if not more, than the Europeans. Why? Because if they had fought to protect their people instead of selling them, then they wouldn't have been sold. But see, just because they were from the continent of Africa does not mean they were in sync. They were not in unison. They were fighting. They were warring. And the Africans captured Africans, people of other tribes, to sell them to the Europeans. So hence, that's why it's called the African slave trade. And they're doing that today in Chad. We were talking about this recently. They're still selling people in Africa. Chad is one place that comes to mind right away. But go on, continue.
Okay, now I want to bring Sister Lisa in. She's been holding
Sure. Okay.
Hello, Sister Lisa. Welcome. Let's talk about it all. It's your floor.
How you doing, Mr. Solution? Nice to hear from you.
I'm doing well, Lisa, and you inspire me when you said the other night you had to go to work, and I missed you one night, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. You brought up a lot of nice comments. Shadi, I was saying that you brought up that single parenting, and I have to go back in the past that we always talk about not having a father in the home and the mother being the main caregiver. But we have to remember, as a people, that's the way they made it out to be for us. The mother always had the children. And when they sold us, that's what the story say, the husband or the mother always brought up the children. And as you can see, back in the day, even though it was only one main person in the home, kids still grew up good. We didn't have as many people in jail, on drugs, striving to become a better nation. But now that we do have like a mother at home with the children, it's harder because life is different. You know what I mean? TV, you know, like you said, cell phones, just entertainment makes our kids think differently than when we were back there and we didn't have all these electronical things to interpret and work with our minds as far as thinking that we don't need to still reach out and get the things we need in life. I want to say one thing to you. I was at work the other day, and three women, we were talking, and we have one nationality that worked with us, but two. And the one girl said, this nationality has all of the jobs that I have. And then the other one that had another nationality, she said, our people have all of these jobs. So I said to the one girl, well, what do black people, where are we? And then she, like, stalled and didn't think. And then she said, oh, well, they work for New Jersey Transit. And it really hurt my feelings because I was like, the jobs that the people were saying that they have, their people, those are jobs that we had when our parents was young and when I was young. We're not there no more because we're moved up into different careers in life. You know what I mean? You got to know where your people at. You can never put your people down to other people. Because like Mr. Solution said, we as a nation got to be strong enough to know that we are the ones. Because even Trump, I was surprised that he said it. He said that black people are the people built this country. People won't say it, but he said black people was the backbone who built America. And we got to start realizing that we are an important people. And because people are being allowed to come over to America to make their life better, you got to remember, they didn't build the foundation. They're just reaping all the benefits that our people worked so hard with their blood and tears to do for the people that was making them do it for no money at all. And that's how America is great also. But don't get me wrong now, a lot of people from other countries back in the day did blood and sweat their tears too to build America. But it was mostly us because we're the foundation that didn't have freedom. Like Mr. Solution said, we didn't have the opportunity to be free to have what we needed to be a better nation. And we got, like you said, unity. We got to be better because it's just now coming out that a lot of people in Africa, the kings or whatever, they did sell their people to come and be a slave. But then also a lot of people from Europe or England came to Africa and took people. But here and there, that was back then, and if they don't want to owe up to it, it's okay. But we have to decide what we as a people are going to do now to move forward into another century of being all right with ourselves. Because we're not all in jail. We're not all on drugs. You know what I mean? We're not all not trying to do nothing with ourselves. We have people out here that's really working hard. Like me, I work 7 days a week. I'm 64 years old. I work 7 days a week, and I'm trying to make my life better going forward. And I try to show my kids that no matter what age you are, you work, and you get the things that you can obtain in America to be great. You know what I mean?
Okay, absolutely. And we're gonna hold right there. We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna come back with Miles.
Well, Sade, before you go, I just want to throw this at you, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. What is that?
Okay. Let me just say this: being the backbone or being the workhorse doesn't mean anything if it's not in alignment with other things. You take an elephant. An elephant is very powerful, and they do a lot of work. But the elephant doesn't own the work that it does. It's working for someone else. So that's very, very important to understand. Just because someone does some work doesn't give them ownership automatically. And I hope that point can really come across. See, one has to be smart. Go ahead.
We're going to pick up right on that. Stay on that point. After Miles speak, we're going to pick up on that point because I totally agree with you. And that's pretty much where I'm going with it, too. You kind of brought something out before I even started speaking on it, but that's a point that I want to elaborate on more. But we're going to take our break, and we're going to come back. You know, we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss that. All right, so we're going to Mr. Producer, give us something.
Ashman didn't get much rest today. Oh, why? Because they want more pay. Buses on strike gonna raise their fares so they can help to lose the
I want to pick up where you left off, Solution.
Yeah, Shadi, let me give you a quick breakdown. I appreciate that. Let me just give you a quick breakdown, and I'm going to let you work with this if you don't mind, okay?
No, let me do that first, because you mentioned something about class, and there are classes, and you also mentioned regular people. Now, There's for me, the breakdown that I learned, that there are 10% of the people that can do what you said, manipulate and exploit the system. There's 10% of that can do that. There's another 1-2% who controls everything, who controls it all, who set the laws, who even the politicians are their puppets. now you have a 5% who truly want to enlighten those 85% of the people who are struggling, who believe in this American dream. And by the way, you know, there's two types of dream. There's the daydream, where you're just sitting, staring in the wall, staring in the space. Then there's the other dream while you're asleep. So now there's people who really work hard, who really, you know, work them hours, as you said, work them hours, that 60 to 80, they work them hours. However, because they don't have the proper information, some of them, and some of them are in situations where they have so much responsibility and they just don't seem to be able to get ahead. So really, it's about the information. It's about the self-awareness. It's about giving these people who are willing to work that hard the proper information so that they can utilize that information to raise themselves up to a higher level where they can actually see the benefit of what they're doing. All right, you can go ahead, Lucy.
What I would encourage you to do, you stimulated me to think of another thing while you were speaking, and I'm going to disagree with you slightly. It's not just about information. It's also about ego, because some people, even if given the information, will not follow it. But what I wanted to do is, first of all, Rich Dad, Poor Dad really delves into these particular idiosyncrasies, if you please. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I love to promote that book, and I'm promoting it to some people. Shut me down, like young people. I talk to young people all the time, and sometimes I'll ask them, you know, the spirit will just inspire. I don't speak to everybody. I don't.
Right.
And I won't. But sometimes, you know, I'm moved to say something to a young person. I may see them working or going to work. But you have to realize a person's ego is also there. And that overrides information and everything else, their ego. But what I was going to say to you, and this is a very palpable example, a very concrete example, is that if anyone works for an employer, be it an entrepreneur or a company, you only receive anywhere from a third to a half, and I'm probably overestimating for purposes of the discussion, you only receive about a third to half of what your labor is worth. The rest of it goes to the employer. That's the reason the employer's wealth is multiplied, because all the people that are working for him, he's getting the benefit of all of that labor. They never pay you what you're actually worth. They can't. That would be contrary to the business model. The business model says pay them a livable wage, hopefully, and you capture the rest. So if you understand what I'm saying is, if we put this in dollar terms, say, for example, your work is worth a dollar, $1, right? And if we break that up into quarters, you only get roughly 25%, maybe. The employer takes the other 75%. That's the way that works now. So just because a person does the work does not mean they get the lion's share of the credit or the profit. And I want to make that point very, very crystal clear if I can. Go ahead.
No, you made it crystal clear, and that's absolutely what I'm speaking about, and that's what motivates me to do these podcasts, because I understand that. Not a lot of people do. Understand it. Some people do understand that. However, there's a lot of people who are capable of creating a base where they can be able to get that 75% for themselves. They have a lot of skills, but if you're not told that, and I get you, some people is ego. Some people have an ego and they just not going to do anything because they have an ego. There are other people who are misguided, who are misinformed. The Bible says, many of my people are going to perish for lack of knowledge. You know, they don't say because, you know, they're being disobedient or just plain hard-headed, but some of them just don't have the proper knowledge. And then once you get the knowledge, it's how you – do you have the wisdom to implement it in the way that you see it in your mind? Are you able to get a thought in your mind and say, look, I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to open a business because I'm a great cook. I want to put together a business and start doing that, implement that business. I think what happens to most of us are being taught and programmed to be workers, to work for other people rather than to create things for ourselves, create jobs for ourselves, because a lot of us have tremendous skills that go to waste because we're conditioned to fall in line with that system, and you left out the government. You got the boss right, but the government takes their share. So that quarter even dropped down a little more, you know. So I get exactly what you're saying, but I want to get Miles on because he's been hanging on the line patiently. So I want to get Miles on to hear what he has to say about the issue. Miles, are you on the line?
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. How everybody doing?
Hey, Miles. Right. How are you?
I'm fine. Sadie, I go back to Black Wall Street. We had everything going for ourselves. And then white America came along and burned it down. I don't understand why they won't allow us to be just important, not as important, but just as good at what we do and get the accolade that we get for doing what we're doing. But they always got to shut us down. I know when I was in college, I found out in college they don't teach you to be a CEO. They teach you to work for CEOs. Not only that, but I know Dick Gregory came on TV and said one day, he said, like, I don't understand. For years, we had black business all over this country, thriving. And now all of a sudden, what you see now, you don't see them no more. Like everybody said, as slaves, when we were slaves coming up, who was only the ones allowed to work in the white man's house with the light skins. The black was out in the field. Their sons were taken from them and sold off. They wasn't taught to be fathers. They were taught to be just plain workers, not for themselves, but for someone else. But see, when Black Wall Street came along, they saw the value of a black man, and they said, we can't have that. That's the way I look at it. Because every time we go out there and try to improve ourselves, we take one step forward, they shove us back three. You got foreigners could come over here with money in their pocket and could get a business just like that. But we have to go through all kinds of bull crap to get a certain kind of loan to start our business. The respect that we deserve, they don't want to give it to us. And I just don't get it. What they're
all right,
afraid
I can
of.
Give it to you, Miles. It's a very simple.
Now I want to hear solutions. Yes. Go ahead.
I'm going to give it to you. You made some good points, or you brought up some good issues, Miles. I'm going to give it to you, right? I'm going to give it to you on steroids. This is it. You keep talking about let. Let also means allow. Fuck that. What you have to say is, how can I be competitive? A competitive person never talks about anyone letting them do a damn thing, because that's what Dr. Anderson, and I'll just refer to his book, but everybody contributes to this. He uses a book called Powernomics. The word power is the ability to overcome obstacles. So when you sit back, let me tell you what the competition does. Whoever that competition may be, and some of that competition are people who look just like you, however it is that you look, right? But they sit back and laugh because saying let or allow me to do something is a sign of impotence. It's weakness. You're in a competitive environment. And let me tell you something. One of the most important aspects to success is being competitive. One can have all the damn information that's possible. If they're not competitive, they're going to get their ass kicked by a person who is competitive. So the moment you tell me I've got to let you do something, you're doomed. You're doomed at that point. Or if I see that desire in you, you're doomed.
Hold on. Let me say something. Let me speak on that. Look, you say all that now, but we know government is in charge. When we try to get there, they push us back. They change the law on us. I remember Louis Farrakhan told us one day, the best thing, the way to deal with the people in this country, the people that's in power, learn their system, learn how they do, and use it against them. And every time we do that, they go in there, they vote out these different laws to set us back.
All
right. They do this, they're doing it for a purpose. Now, I just want to know, why are they so serious about trying to keep us from getting just on the same ladder as they on?
It's not you, Miles. It's not personal. Let me shot this out now. Go ahead.
All right. I agree with what Solution said. See, they have, by the way, it was more than the Black Wall Street. There were plenty of different other areas where they did the same type of thing. However, we have to be in a mindset that we're no longer accepting that type of behavior. We have to be willing, if necessary, to die for what we want and what we believe in at this state of the game, because I think that many of us operate on post-enslavement rather than pre-enslavement. People never even talk about what were we prior, because there's evidence that many of us were already in America. So what were we doing prior to the European coming to this country? There are pyramids and castles and all types of things that were built prior to slave existence, supposedly prior to being enslaved. So we need to start operating from that frequency, because prior to that, we were considering ourselves kings, queens, and gods and goddesses. We were connecting with nature. We were connected on a level that was so high that we couldn't conceive not accomplishing anything that our mind conceived. Anything that our mind conceived, we were on a level to accomplish it. And that's where we have to get back to, because, yeah, Miles, many of us have got tuned down. We've got tuned down to where we basically asking for what we want. And we all see how that went. We've been asking since the 50s and 60s. So,
right.
Solution, right. They're not going to give you nothing. Why would they, who in their right mind relinquish power? Power has always been taken. So you have to take what you want. If all is true, whether we were brought here, taken, sold, we were taken, it was taken. Whether we are the original, the aboriginal people of this country, that means the land was taken from us. That means originally the land belonged to us and it was taken. They didn't come, they manipulated us for it, but ultimately the land is gone. Now we have to pay for the land that we once owned. So we have to get in a mind state of, yo, if this happened to us, there's no asking you for nothing. All we have to do is come and be collectively, and because some of the things that our issues, we are in our own way with some of our issues, because some of our issues has nothing to do with anybody outside of who we claim to be. Who we claim to be, whether we claim to be African American, Black, or whatever, we are not even being good family members to each other. We are lying to each other. We are attacking each other. We are doing things contrary to uplifting each other. So this is the thing that we have to focus on, is how can we make a better society for us all, the human race. However, I focus more on the people that I identify with as a complexion, and as Solution said, everybody that look like us don't exactly have our best interests. There's some people just, it's about money for them. They can care less about, they'll use, I'm pro-Black, this and that, power to the people. But their intentions, look, long as I can eat, them people can kick rocks. And we have to be aware that we do have people like that. We do have people like that. So let me let Jay Sean, Jay Sean want to speak too. Say what you got to say and let Jay Sean, because he said he had something he wanted to add to the conversation.
What I have issues with, every time we do get there, they change the rules on us. Them people in government, they would change the laws, the rules, the whole situation.
So how about this, Miles? We start telling them, look, we not breaking no laws. We not abiding by it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we don't have to abide by it. We choose. We so conditioned to the way the rules and regulations have been programmed into us. What do? At a stop sign, we automatically know it's time to stop. You know, it's certain things that we automatically do that they don't have to tell us. We have to understand that at the end of the day, we're men. We're human just as much as they're human. And the whole scenario about the thing that I'm kind of a little twisted about, the slave scenario, because it always sets you up as you got to ask massa for what you want, and massa don't take it from you. No, you ain't taking nothing from me without being ready to die. You got to be ready to die to take something from me now.
That reminds me of that.
So that reminds me of the elephant theory.
You take an elephant and you put a chain on his leg and put a peck in the ground. And he walked, he felt that's the farthest he could go. He's so used to going that far, he know he can't go no further. You take that chain off, he'll still believe that this is the furthest he could go. And we got to break out of
conditioning, Miles.
That's a perfect
analogy. Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
That's
the same thing.
That's conditioning. Let me just give you,
I read this
from Dr. Anderson, and I do believe it's true. What Dr. Anderson said is it's no longer the problem with people who identify as Black is no longer race. It's their own inappropriate behavior. Now, if you are willing to accept that, that means what you alluded to, Sade, the power is in you. Now, with Miles, see, this is the thing about Miles, and I don't mean to say you're disingenuous, Miles, but I don't think you are as introspective as you could be, because what you said on my financial discussion, you are in a good place financially. Why don't you just teach people to be the way you are?
Well, I'm trying to do the best I can, but I can't force them to go that route. I could
that's
tell
a separate
them.
Issue,
what
Miles.
I'm doing.
That's a separate issue if you see the point.
The issue is
if you're trying
what
to
I
teach them
though?
To do something to better their lives, and they won't do it, it's not anybody else, it's them.
Can I finish saying what I want to say?
Go ahead, Miles. So Jake, come on.
You can teach anyone how to run a company. But once you teach them that, the rest is up to them. I could teach you how to read a book, but I can't force you to keep reading it. If I teach you how to read,
it's the person's problem. It's not
that.
Anyone else's problem.
Yeah, but the problem here I'm trying to say is
basically what Solution is saying, Brother Miles, is, okay, you reaching out to people to educate them. They
right.
refuse it, so it's no longer the government in their way. They're in their own way. This is the thing we have to do. We have to stop, like at the end of the day, them jokers that's in government, they're men, just like us.
True.
You know, the advantage that they have over us is they're able to get the army or the police to attack us. However, once we get ourselves together, then what do they do? Like, at the end of the day, if we got neighborhoods with no crime, what happens? What has to happen? If we're controlling our own neighborhoods, then what do we need police for? Then that money that goes to police, then we can utilize that for other things. But first, we got to start working on us. Get them right now. They don't exist right now. We exist, and we focus on doing whatever it takes to get ourselves together, minus them. They are minus. We got to start plussing with us. And don't answer me, because I want to let Jay speak, because he's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Brother Jay Shaw.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Miles, this is the Solution, everybody. I kind of understand what Miles was saying a little while ago, because I'm sitting back listening to the whole show, so I'm kind of outline where I was going with that. A lot of times people throw smoke screens, you know what I mean? Not just white people. White people throw the smoke screens out there. They say, if a black person want to do it, just get up and do it. Like Mr. Solution was saying, you don't let nobody do nothing. And then, you know, black people throw the smoke screen and like to say, oh, it's the white man's fault. The white man is holding us back. And it's all smoke screens, but we all really know it's not that white people, they're not smarter than black people. They don't work harder than black people. And black people not smarter than white people. And black people don't work harder than white people. It's just that's what's instilled and taught in you. And like a lot of white people, they inherit stuff from their parents and grandparents, where far as like black people, we don't. A lot of white people, they taught about finances and stuff like that. See, and we not taught like that. Now, that's not their fault either, what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you how it
that's
is.
True.
I think we was talking about that earlier, Shadi, when we said
how many times
did we ever hear our parents say anything about slavery? I said I never heard my mother or father say the word slavery, and you said they didn't too. So moving on from that, and then I think I heard Mr. Solution say that something about let. You can't let nobody do what you want. Everybody know that take it back to the 1900s or before the 1900s when it was slavery. And if a black person wanted to read, what happened? They was whipped, mangled, tortured, and then sold and separated, you know, if we wanted to read. So what you think the reason for that was? That was to keep the black person dumb, basically blind, deaf, and dumb. You know what I mean? Then also I heard somebody say about if you work land, that don't mean you own the land. That's some more trick knowledge, because we all know what happened when our forefathers worked on land, and then the plantation owners told them, "Oh, you'll be able to have your freedom in like three winters or three summers or something like that." As soon as the three summers or the three winters was up, and they worked the farms and everything for the plantation owners, when they came with the money, they had more trick knowledge. They said, "Oh no, you're not paid up. We didn't do that good with crops, or it's more taxes and stuff like that." So they wasn't educated enough on that. You know what I mean? So that was more trick knowledge they ran on us. Now, again, you say that I heard somebody else say when they brought us here from Africa on the ships and everything, a lot of white people like to say, "Oh, Africans helping the white people catch Africans." Okay, that's true, but it wasn't all of them. It was Africans that was fighting back, but people don't tell you about that. It was Africans that was dying to keep from getting on them ships. And that, and just because that happened in Africa, that's the same thing that happened in Germany. When Germans was killing Jews, they was also killing Germans, because it was German women who had babies by black men. So they would put them in the same shoes as they put the Jewish people in, or the black people in. You know what I mean? So that's sort of like along the same things, because they like to say, "Oh, it was African people catching African people to help the European people get the slavery people." But the whole thing in a nutshell is, it was all trick knowledge, and they want people to believe that, "Oh, black people, we just let them take our land, and we let them stop us from reading, and we just let them." And then another thing, the main thing is, everybody know this, and if you don't know this, I don't know, maybe you've been under a rock. Everybody know, like Miles said, everybody know what happened when black people stand up. I tell you what happened when a black person stand up against this society. They end up with a bullet in their head like Martin Luther King. They end up with a bullet in their back like Medgar Evers. They end up in a bullet in their ass like the Black Panthers. They end up with bullets in them, or they end up dead, and you don't know, like Tupac and Biggie, and you don't know where the people at that killed them. Anybody, anytime you ever try to get up and form something in this country, and I understand what you said, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. Nah, you can't do it, because the system is not designed like that. They have FBI files on Malcolm X. They have FBI files on Muhammad Ali. Every time black people try to stand up and do something, they coerce some kind of way to hold us back. And just because we not up in the forefront now, it don't mean that we don't got people working on it. I mean, look at you, Shadi. You working on it. You working on it. And it's 100, it's a million Shadis out there that's talking just like you talking. They want unity just like you want unity. But you know what? It's another 2,000-3,000 people that's out there that's trying to make sure that you won't never make it to where you want to make it. And just when you get where you want to make it, trust me, they'll gun you down. And know what they do that for? They do that for fear. They don't do that. Absolutely. It's not always hatred. It's not always hatred. It's fear. It's fear.
Absolutely.
It's fear. And why is it fear? You got to ask a white man that. You know, why they didn't want black people to learn how to read, you got to ask a white person that. I don't know. Why you didn't want a black person to own land, you got to ask the white people that. Why you didn't want them to educate themselves and stuff, you got to ask a white person that. I know within myself why. but it's always gonna be smoke screens out there. I just don't like when they say, "Oh, it was Africans helping Africans." It was Africans helping Africans catch Africans to sell to the white people. Yeah, it was.
Well,
it was one
I mean,
was trying to save their ass.
You know what that's similar to, right?
Huh?
Yeah, but you know what that's similar to. You know what that's similar to.
What's
that's
that?
When you say that when somebody of color is murdered by the police, normally people say, "Oh, well, they killing each other too." It's similar to that.
Right.
They always say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question now. Does that matter?
What? Does it matter what
you just said? I'm just capitalizing on the statement you just made. If a group of people, for example, a person whom you don't identify with harms or kills a person that you do, and then a person whom you do identify with harms or kills a person that you identify with. Does that matter?
They're both wrong. Right. They're both are wrong.
They're both wrong.
My goal would be definitely we don't kill somebody, you know, kill each other. You know,
right, you're right. Let me ask Jayshon a question. Jayshon, you mentioned
go back to what you just said. If a black person kill a black person, he get life in prison. A cop kill a black person, what they give him?
Hold on one second. You mentioned Malcolm X. Let me ask you this, Jayshon.
Hold on.
Conditions
in
America improved since these men? That's the question, Jayshon. Have situations improved since the time of these men that you mentioned?
What is that?
I'm asking you, you mentioned some great American historical figures. I'm asking you, have conditions improved since the time of those men?
Of course. I'm here talking to you. Capitalize on the improvements
because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the same things I told Miles. If you're waiting on people to help you win, that's a pipe dream. People who are in opposition to you, even if it's the people that look like you do, are not going to help you win. They're there to defeat you. That's the whole thing about being competitive. And that's all one needs is the information, Sade, that you were saying earlier, and a competitive spirit. That's what carries one over the finish line, the competitive spirit, not saying, "Help me." And you have to understand the difference between I and we. We is a plural pronoun. I is a singular pronoun. A link chain is made up of eyes, strong eyes. You don't get to the strong eyes.
Hey, Mr. Seleucia, have the times helped me? Have they helped you?
The times have helped everybody.
A rising tide
lifts all ships. That's the reason I pointed out. Over a million people are naturalized in America every year. 1 million. That's 100,000 people come to America. One doesn't break into jail. I don't hear very many people breaking into jails, you know, to stay. Maybe they're trying to get someone out. But usually people break out of jail. So if you have this many people coming here, and let me tell you something. One of the most frightening nightmares I've ever had is waking up in a foreign country and not being able to speak the language or know the culture. Now, I know what to do if I find myself in that particular situation, but I'm just telling you that's frightening. Now, with one who was born in America, acculturated in America, knows the language, knows the culture, there's no excuse for them failing. There's no excuse. There's no acceptable excuse. Excuse me. Allow me to self-correct. There's no acceptable excuse. So, Sade, I'm speaking to you, and I'm pretty sure you understand this. When, you know, people compete against each other, even people who look like you, who you consider that are you, those people will kick your ass in terms of being competitive. Any competitive
person
is... Go ahead.
Now, what you said was a valid point. The point what you said is, okay, can't build a chain without a bunch of eyes. You know, you get a bunch of strong eyes, you build a strong chain. However, what I do understand, you know, what Jay Sean and Miles were saying, that, okay, as individuals, it's easier to navigate. It's easier to navigate in this country, and it has been easier to navigate in this country for who we call ourselves, black people, on an individual basis. However, when it became a movement, then it became a problem. And the problem, as you said, because now the status quo feels threatened. Because if the worst case scenario is, okay, all the people who were wrong, who believe they were wrong, come together and decide we were wrong, we no longer dealing with it, it's over. What happens then? Do we go to war or what? So I think that's the thing where Jay Sean says, okay, they murder a person for the symbol to create the fear so that the rest of the people who are watching say, look, we can do it by ourselves, but we subconsciously now, this is subconsciously, we can't come together because they're going to kill us. We can't do this. And so subconsciously, we fight against progress because we're operating on emotions. Subconsciously, whether we realize it or not, we're operating on emotions rather than logic. I mean, many of us take positions like, You can say something to a person about their religion or about politics, and they get emotional about it. And
let me give you a quick observation, if I may, about the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement was a success. That's the reason every other group, the women's movement, the gay movement, all of them have patterned themselves after the civil rights movement. Now, the real problem you have is that the people who gain the freedom vis-a-vis the civil rights movement don't know how to live in that freedom. That's the problem. See, freedom is not just an automatic plus for everybody. You see, a lot of people don't know how to live freely.
And there are people who don't know how to live freely. I agree that there are people who don't know how to live freely. However, there is still some kind of connection that stunts you if you're not self-aware. You can still, as you said, for example, as you said, working a job where your money is basically monetized. They're basically monitoring the money you make, and the prices are going up for food, the prices are going up for property. However, your wages are remaining the same. So now in this particular aspect, you're still not free. You're not free because there's not enough hours in the day for you to work enough to be free because of maybe, you know, lack of skill set. You don't have a proper skill set. It's a number of reasons why a person may not be able to get the type of job that they would need to be free. So there's many people who would love to be free, but just don't have what it takes to be free. So they're stuck. They're stuck on the hamster wheel, trying to make it day by day. There's plenty of people that's trying to make it day by day, raise their children, and live a decent life. But the way that things are for them now, they find it is so difficult to do that. So if you have people, and the majority, the reality is, with all the people who have money that they can't spend in their lifetime, if we were really the way the religion suggests, the way the Bible, Quran, and Torah and all of those suggest, if we were really living that, then these people wouldn't be suffering like that. So I do, even though I'm a religious person, even though I accept Islam, I do have problems with religion to a degree, because a lot of people utilize it selfishly. They use it to help themselves, for self-discipline, self-upliftment, and things of that nature. And other people use it to make money off of other people who are blind to it. So it's a lot of different aspects that, when you look at individuals, people in different parts, there are reasons, and there are adequate reasons why some people are not where other people are. And other people are, and everybody operates on different frequencies, on different levels. So what may be good for you, me, and Miles may not be good for someone else, you know? And they may would like to, but if we can help them, and if they're willing, we can at least bring them up to a level where they could be a comfortable life. That's
Shadi, if I may say so. Look, one of the things I share with people when I do.
Excuse me for a second. Hey, Jay, could you put me on mute, because they out here in the backyard about to shoot off some fireworks. They're gonna make a lot of noise. So, can you put me on mute?
You got him there.
Shadi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, one of the things that I do as a very practical thing is I ask people, like, how much money would it take to make you feel comfortable? And I like the fact that you keep bringing it back to the practical. That's a good thing. And people will give me all these figures, right? I'm just listening to them. They'll give me all these figures, these astronomical figures. And then I say to them, I say, well, what about your annual salary? Because that's what you live on. What if you had that now? And, you know, that is the reasonable thing to work for, because that's what you're living with already. You understand what I'm saying,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Where are you at right there? Yeah,
having
you
your
yeah.
annual salary. See, a person has to work from whence they are, from where they are. And a lot of people are just not practical. And remember what I said a moment ago. That's a profundity. Okay. Is people who are free living freely? That's a problem for a lot of people, because they don't know what to do with the freedom. So what do? They complain about not being free when they actually are free. One of the things is to have accurate interpretation. That's very, in other words, what they call, ratiocination. It means to be able to think clearly, to be able to think linearly. And a lot of people don't. Just because a person can string together ideas doesn't mean that they make sense. A person has to be trained to make sense, believe it or not. And so the thing is like people like Miles, okay, I'm just going to use him as a marker, because Miles, from what he says, now, and I'm not contradicting him, I'm taking him at his word, Miles is successful. And you heard him say yourself a moment ago, a lot of the people that he tries to train to be like him, financially freer, they don't want to hear
right.
it.
Right.
So that's where the problem is. In other words, if you were trying to get the blockage out of a sewage line, that's where you need to start, right there, because that's a huge occlusion. That's a blockage right there. And so what I'm saying again, look, we're in an economic tizzy now. We're in an economic downturn. And if you read the scriptures, it talks about cyclical economic. That's just the way economic goes. It goes in cycles. Now, a person can still find opportunities. There are still a lot of opportunities, even in this down cycle. There are people who short the market, Sharday. Now, I lost a lot of money in the market, and I didn't like it. And I've got to make that up. I'll do it. I'll do it. But the point is, economic markets are cyclical. That's why people have to do what's called redeeming the time. When times are good, be like the ant and not like the grasshopper, old sluggard, right? And the ant stores up for winter. The grasshopper just parties the whole year. And if it weren't for the eggs that the grasshopper laid, the grasshopper would go extinct. And by the way, there are cultures who've gone extinct. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. There are many ancient groups of people who went out of existence, usually for inappropriate behavior. Usually. That was the major reason. They were absorbed by other groups, defeated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They no longer exist today, identifiably. So what you have to understand is the I in that strong chain. That's what you've got to understand. Be that strong link. And I think I like what Miles is saying. But see, what Miles does, he overrides himself by coming back with an excuse. And anytime one understands the problem, they're halfway to the solution already, just by understanding
absolutely.
The problem clearly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you really put it out there, really, when you just said that a lot of people are not thinkers. And this is what I was saying, that a lot of people maneuver from emotions. So you're not thinking, you're reacting. So if you're reacting, that's going to change. That's going to vary, because that's going to depend how you feel today and then how you feel 15 minutes from now and how you feel tomorrow. But if you're working from a logical point of view, that's not going to change until you reach whatever you're logically going for. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing that, you know, on this show, we want to help people with. We want to help people to become better thinkers. Because
Exactly. And you watch sports, I'm sure. And sporting, I don't care. I played sports in school, in high school, college, this sort of thing. Now, sports does teach one sportsmanship and this kind of stuff, keeping one's body in tip-top shape and this sort of thing. But imagine this, and this is the way it is. We people, humans, are in a real competitive monopoly game. We're in it. We may not have been asked to be in it. I appreciate being born. Life is very good. Wonderful. All right. This is the thing. If you imagine two teams competing against each other, those teams don't help each other win. They're there to overcome the other team. If you imagine a basketball or a football or any competitive sport, and this teaches a real-life example of what I'm talking about, no opposition member of a team helps the other opposing team.
I agree with you.
They're there to kick that team's butt.
Right.
And so go ahead.
This is where I say sometimes, because we identify, we're being person that a melanin skin that looks like me, that only speak English, that don't speak any Latin or Arabic or any of that thing. in this country, you're identified as black. Whether I want to say it or not, if another person sees me that consider themselves white, they're going to say I'm black. Once they
but so what? Let me just ask you right there.
Let me tell you why. Because where are you saying our opposition? We are on a team. Our opposition and who's has been our opposition since they arrived in this country sits in a house where the majority of them rule, and they even named the house after what they identified themselves as. And now this is where the game is almost rigged because, okay, yeah, I can get to a certain point, but I'm voting on you to help me. But you're really against me because you're the other team. You're not for me. You're the other team. I'm voting for you. So I'm like going to the coach. I'm going to the coach. Hey, coach, I need you to put me in. I ain't going to put you in because I want the other team to win. That's how the politicians are. You know what I'm saying? That's the politicians, and that's how they're playing us. So that's the thing that's happening that bothers me and that people see and that, you know, it's like almost like the game is set. Like, you know, so that part, you know, we don't have control over, but we have to deal with what we do have control over. So when you
okay, Shadi, let me tell you something, if I may. Let me jump in right there. It's very important, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you, and I hearken back to my old high school basketball days. All right. Even if I lost, I never stopped playing because I was good enough that other teams would pick me up, right? The other team would pick me up if I lost. What I'm saying to you is this. If you're good enough, people aren't going to self-destruct for bullshit, especially for something that's superficial. If you are good enough and make yourself indispensable, all that other crap, if you want to call it bias, goes out the window. Even if I don't like you, if you're good enough, and remember, if I'm a person that is on my game, as it were, I can recognize talent. So if you're good enough, all that other stuff goes out the window. Trust me. It doesn't make a difference. And let me just say this. Reader's Digest chronicle this. We're in the greatest time in human history right now. And I mean ever. You today live better than kings of old. Now, they had more money than you and I have put together, right? But they didn't live as well as we live today. They had to ride in carriages behind horses. Any animal that eats vegetation does a lot of has a lot of flatulence.
Yeah.
So they had to put up with that. They had to put up with dusty roads, none air conditioning. They didn't know what a supermarket or a Home Depot was. Okay. They didn't know what hot and cold water, running water was, air conditioning, living in your own home. We have it, medical advancements, and even the sneakers. We have it better as a people on the aggregate, especially living in first world America, than any people throughout human history, regardless of their status. So when one understands where they are properly, there's very little to complain about. And I'm enjoying this subject, but look here, I'm going to go ahead and put myself on
hold on. I want to respond to something you said that you can go ahead and put yourself on mute because we're about to end the show anyway.
All right. Okay. Good show, by the way. Great show.
I totally agree with you about making yourself valuable so that they want to pick you on their team. That's the goal, to get more of us to be more valuable so that we don't have a problem. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, because the unfortunate thing is you know, just and I guess it's the way I'm built as a human being, that I don't celebrate, you know, I still equate myself with those who are struggling, because I want to help the ones who are willing to be helped rise above it. And and it's probably from, you know, it's just me as an individual, but my line of work also added to that when I was a counselor, you know, drug and alcohol counselor. I was a youth mentor. I was youth advocate program. I taught. I did different things where it was about helping people rise to their best selves, to a higher level of themselves. That's what, you know, basically I do this show for, because I want to help people rise to a higher level of themselves. And if they rise to a higher level of themselves, then as you said, they won't have a problem with the stuff that's going on around them, because they'll be valuable enough to simulate in. Because as you said, for the most part, the people who are your opposition will realize, man, I can't be in opposition with him because I need him. I need him. I can't turn my back on him because he got something I need. So that's what we have to do, and that's the goal, to get us to see that, look, you're valuable. Stop looking at yourself as not being valuable. You're a valuable asset. You're a valuable commodity. You're a valuable individual, but you got to rise up above your emotional status and come to your full understanding of who you are as a human being and as a person, and live that out, you know? With that being said, I'm going to end it for the night, and it's been great having Sister Lisa, Brother Miles, Brother Jay Sean, Brother Solution. It's been a great high-level conversation, and, you know, looking forward to next week where we'll continue, you know, to grow. Because that's what it's about. Ultimately, it's about, you know, growth. It's about not settling for being mediocre or mediocrity. It's about being excellent, that strive for excellence. That's what we got to do. You know, special thanks to my brothers, Jay Sean, for the production. And everybody tune in on Monday to Humble Vision from 8:30 to 9:15. Tune in every Thursday to the Lisa Experience from 8 to 9 p.m. Tune in every Friday to Keeping It Real from 8 to 10 p.m. And tune in every Sunday to Point of Impact from 7 to 8 p.m. And also tune in to Grown Folks Talking by dialing 520-525-8633. That's 520-525-8633. And I would like for any of you who are listening who didn't press 1 to, you know, my accolades or whatever for doing this show is to get subscribers on my page, because there's other stuff that I want to start doing, but I want to build up the subscribers. There's some other stuff that I'm going to start doing that I don't really speak on the show. And you do that by subscribing to @AndreHill9. That's @AndreHill, the number 9. And I pray to you, the creator of all existence, that you touch every heart and renew every mind who hears the vibration of my voice, so that our hearts, minds, and souls will come together and function as though we are one body. I pray that you bless each and every one of us with the spirit of unity, forgiveness, and with the ability to put aside our differences so that we can work together towards a much needed change within ourselves and within our communities, for the for the sake of present and future generations, I pray with all my heart that our Creator has planted something incredible within each and every one of us that will carry us, that we will carry with us and share from this day forward. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah, and anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me. And I ask your forgiveness. With that being said.
Hey, Sade, quick question, if I may.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On this 525-8632, that's a conference call, right? When are you on? When is this number operative?
Well, that's our Forest in them. They you know, you can call that and then they'll give you like different times because they have multiple different shows. So I promote their shows because they, you know, they be having the healthy eating. They have a lot of different topics, so it's a lot of different ones. So I promote their show as well, you know, because
okay, I'll check it out. Are they on now or tomorrow or when? I just have to call and
give
see.
It a call. Just call. Yes.
Hey, thanks a lot. Again, great show. Good show.
Yeah. Thank you. In closing, don't forget to reach out to someone who you love and care about just to see how they are doing or just to see if they're okay. That being said, may you all be inspired and motivated to begin your journey towards a higher level of thinking and self-evaluation. Until our next encounter, have a great night, and I love you all.
Father, I love you. And it was a lie they heard you say, daughter or son, I love you. One day you cherish every day, and instantly be taken away. I know this can't be true when you never took the time. Simply tell them I love you. It was the last time that they heard you say, sister or brother, I love you. And when was the last time that they heard you say, darling, or best friend, I love you. The one for whom you give your very life could be taken in the twinkling of an eye. Through just as you'd ask, why did you go, knowing you didn't always show just how much you love us so. Yet they rejoice in
anointing that gave them